Verde Insurance is the best in the business. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They do a great job of making sure you're fully insured because we have a multitude of insurance needs. And not only that, but they do everything they can to save you money because customer service means everything to them. At Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Joined now by the outstanding play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Rob King. Rob, welcome back. What a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time.
Steve, I'll tell you, I know we want to talk Steelers. I'd love to talk Penn State football with you. How about your Nittany Lions, huh?
Yeah, it's been quite a run, and they've played well. And you know what's interesting, Rob, is that you know, if anybody knows this, you would. There are two elements that no matter what the conditions or the location of the game, if you have defense and a running game, you're going to win games or at least put yourself in a position to win. Penn State's rushed for over 200 yards in each of their last four games. And the defense is playing at a high level. And you know, when you've got those two things going, Rob, it puts you in at least a good spot.
They travel. It doesn't matter if it's 100 degrees in Miami or, you know, minus 10 degrees in New England. If it's snowing, raining, whatever it is, if you can play defense and you can dictate how things are going to go along the offensive line, you're going to win football games.
And that's what Penn State has right now. Between Allen and Singleton, the way the defense is playing, they have put themselves in a great spot. And now they see if they can win one more and get to the title game. It's, I mean, you know what these fun runs are like because you cover the Steelers when they've made runs to Super Bowls. When you get into something like this, yeah, is it a quick turnover and there's a lot to it and there's a grind to it, but it's a fun grind.
It is. It reminds me of the Penguins, you know, marching to three Stanley Cups. So while I've been here, a couple Super Bowls too along the way. It's so much fun. And, you know, I'm not as quite as attuned with the college scene as I have been over the years just because of the dictates of the job. But, you know, there's always been this great debate, you know, the SEC versus the Big Ten. You know, the ACC will have some years in which they think they're better. But, you know, the way the Big Ten has performed, in the postseason, I'm sure is gratifying to a lot of Big Ten fans. Isn't it funny how, you know, you can't stand Michigan, you can't stand Ohio State, but there's a little part of you that comes together over something like this because you want to prove to everyone your conference is the best.
Right, and it does come like that. And it's interesting when it does happen. You're like, okay, play them this year. All right, they won it. Well, I think that's the same thing for those who played Penn State and Ohio State this year. I think there's some sense of, I can't stand the butt.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't like Texas and Notre Dame either, so, you know, go from there. This stretch run you and I both knew for the Steelers was going to be tough. I mean, we knew that. And it's a kind of stretch that can, you know, where the warts get a little accentuated. Along the way, in watching them, what are a couple of things that are actually positives that they can build on, you know, especially going into this weekend?
I think, to me, the things that have cost them are also some of the things that I think can be, you know, sort of somewhat positives as well. So in every game, they were in every one of these games. You know, they're marching against Philadelphia, you know, late in the third quarter. Trying to tie the score up. It's the best drive of the game. They pitch it to Najee Harris, who never fumbles. He drops a snap. Philadelphia takes possession of the game, and it really was over from there. You could say the same thing with Baltimore. Russell Wilson's running it in. He gets inside the five. He's hit. He coughs up the football. Baltimore recovers. And instead of you going up 14-7, I think it would have been at that point, you know, Baltimore comes back. In this last game, Jalen Warren runs it in. You're up. Boswell's going to kick the extra point. You're going to be up 14-13. Well, hang on a second. There's a holding penalty, which looked dubious. I'm not a big one for criticizing the officials. That looked like a tough call. Mm-hmm. Next play, interception. You never do take that lead. So the fact that you were in all these games and things happened that were uncharacteristic to sort of turn the tide. Najee Harris doesn't fumble. This has been one of the best turnover margin teams in the league. They're number two right now. But during this losing streak, they've been a minus in that department. That's not like them. There were four straight footballs on the field, three in Baltimore and then one in Kansas City, and the Steelers didn't recover any of them. And that, you know, some of that's just bad luck, I think, you know. I mean, I know every team, you know, teaches how to strip the ball and how to get on the ball. The Steelers have been very, very good at it, well better than most teams. They've won a lot of games because they've won the turnover margin. And not being able to do that, and some of that is just bad luck. Now, would you like to have stemmed the tide at certain moments? Yeah, I think I'd feel more comfortable if they'd have stemmed the tide against some of these elite teams, maybe given the offense one more shot or made one more defensive stand. That didn't happen, but I think that the Steelers can look back at these three games and say a lot of what happened was their own doing, and it wasn't a trend that normally happens. It was outlier events happening that caused them to not at least be in these games.
Is this a case? Look, the league's tough. Winning is hard. Is the issue with the Steelers that the margin of error is thin and they can't stray too far on the margin of error?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, Steve, I think that's true for a lot of teams.
I agree.
Most games seem to come down to five or six plays, and the good teams make those five or six plays, and the bad teams don't make those five or six plays. You know, I just got finished before this call watching the Bengals Browns game in preparation for the game tomorrow night. You know, the Browns on the opening drive looked like they scored a touchdown. Maybe they should have reviewed it. They didn't. They come back the very next play. They fumble on the 1 foot line. The Bengals march the length of the field and score a touchdown. You know, the Browns turn it over again, marching in to try to turn it into a one score game late. You know, the two or three plays. And then you look at the final score. Cincinnati throws a touchdown pass. I don't know why they threw that ball at the end of the game to make it look like the margin was a lot bigger. But the margin was really four, five, six plays. And that happens a lot. And when you're the better team, you win those games. And so I think a lot of bad teams can say, well, you know, if we made a play here or a play there. Again, if this had been simply the case of, boy, the Steelers just couldn't get off the field on third down. Yes, that was part of the factors in Philadelphia. But again, to me, it was the fact that they did things that they don't normally do. And yes, the margin of error is slim for them. But that's the way the Steelers have won football games. You know, they're the number one by a lot of metrics, the number one special teams outfit in the NFL. They commit fewer penalty yards by almost 13 yards per game than their opponents. Those are real yards. But just to give you an indication of what that means, instead of being 16th in total offense, if you gave those 13 penalty yards a game, the Steelers bump up to 14th in the league in offense. I mean, those are real yards. The Steelers win those that way a lot. They can't afford to make those kind of mistakes. I think they can against lesser teams because I think Russell Wilson gives them a more explosive dynamic at the quarterback position. But I don't believe they can do that against the better teams and expect to win.
Cincinnati's an interesting team because I think defensively maybe they're a little bit better than they were at midseason. But the Joe Burrow factor, you know, T. Higgins has played well, Chase. When you see Burrow and what he can do, I mean, what impresses you about him, Rob?
Oh, absolutely everything.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just so good, Steve. I mean, I'm watching, you know, as the season unfolds here, watching these games in preparation for this one. And obviously, I watched a bunch before Week 13. And, you know, he can if you let him stand in the pocket, he'll pick you apart. If you blitz him, he can make quick decisions and identify that. Mike Tomlin described him as a guy who is so in tune and in such great command with what his team can do that he has the luxury of that headspace, that mind space, to be able to diagnose what you're doing. And so he always seems to have an answer. He's way more mobile than people think. He doesn't, you know, he generally will move up in the pocket or get out of the pocket to escape in an effort to look downfield. But he can also run. He's more athletic than you think, and he can throw on the run. And he's just, you know, we just saw Patrick Mahomes make some, you know, we saw him make a backhanded pass in the preseason, and he'll make a basketball pass. And there's a little bit of that in Burrow. And as far as gunning the ball and throwing it accurately, it's hard to find anybody who's his peer in the NFL. So he can really do everything, and he does it in complete command of that offense. and he's got tremendous weapons to throw to as well.
The George Pickens factor, when he is engaged on the field and in tune with everybody else, what kind of difference does he make, Rob?
He is, you know, to me, he's, you know, pretty much in that same conversation talent-wise with the top guys in the league.
Yep.
You know, if you put him in a different uniform and put a different number on him and said he is, you know, receiver X, he's Jefferson or whatever, you wouldn't bat an eye. I mean, he can look like that kind of a player. Difficult to tackle, great hands. You know, he's really the preeminent deep threat in the NFL. With apologies to Chase, Chase has played five more games than George Pickens, right, and they both have the same amount of receptions of 30 or more yards. They lead the NFL in that department, and Chase has been the best yards after catch player in the NFL since he came into the league. A lot of it with George is the deep ball. He's so good at the deep ball. He is a premier threat, and I think the Steelers saw what life without him was like. You know, we just talked about Cincinnati. They're without T. Higgins, they're 1-4.
Right.
And they've got Chase, you know. That drop off to the next guy is big in Cincinnati. Yosavash is a fine player in his own right, but it's big there, and it's big in Pittsburgh. And the Steelers, I think they knew that, and that was why they were rumored to be going out after Brandon Ayuk and others in trades, and why they did make a smaller trade to pick up Mike Williams at the trade deadline, because they know that could potentially be an issue if he's not out there. When he is out there, everybody falls into place. You know, Pat Freiermuth has become a really fine tight end in the NFL. You know, the Steelers run the ball high amount, so he's probably never going to put up massive receiving yard numbers. But he's their number two threat behind George Pickens. And they have other guys like Calvin Austin that can do things. They do a good job of mixing and matching down the line, Steve. You know, so if a team has a really good slot, maybe it isn't Calvin Austin's game this week. But, right, you know, you're not going to have two great corners, a great slot corner, a great safety to cover Pat Freiermuth at the tight end, you know, and then another safety to deal with Darnell Washington. And so whereas they don't have maybe the jaw-dropping talent, they have enough breadth of talent, in my opinion, to make them a good matchup team. You know, you can go in and say, okay, this week it's going to be Freiermuth. The last time they played, 13-for-13 to the running backs. The running backs had a huge game receiving. So, and they're both capable receivers. But it all starts with Pickens. Without Pickens, now that you know, sort of ratchets things down one level for everybody else and makes it much easier for opposing defenses to defend the Steelers' passing game.
And that's the way the league is designed. The league is designed where right now there's no dominant team. There are teams with great records, but there's nobody that's perfect at every position along the way.
Right.
You did see the Eagles in person. Obviously different conference, and the NFC is an interesting ride, especially with the way the NFC North is. But what impression did the Eagles give you just seeing them in person?
They were really good. You know, you talk about talent, and, you know, under Mike Tomlin, the Steelers have done a really good job stopping the run. They've done an excellent job with dual-threat quarterbacks for the most part. They did a pretty good job with Barkley and Hurts, and it goes to show you that, you know, that's not a one-dimensional team. Hey, you slowed down Barkley, you slowed down Hurts in the running game, well, then Hurts just picked you apart in the passing game, and you've got two outstanding receivers.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
A.J. Brown is tremendous.
Yep.
Devontae Smith is very good.
Mm-hmm.
Barkley's sensational. It's good to see him. You know, it's good to see him in a different environment. We all knew he was good, but, you know, it's such a team sport in football. He was on some bad Giants teams, and now you see him with the Eagles. I mean, you know, that play he made, you know, leaping over the defender backwards, I've never seen anything like that. None of us have. It's a first. I mean, he's a tremendous talent. I think that's a really good team. If you told me they're getting out of the NFC and they're going to be in the Super Bowl, I would not be in the least bit surprised. They're an outstanding team.
Well, I think one of these I told you before, but we were at practice on Sunday night, and somebody came over with their phone. They said, you got to see the play Barkley made. And at the beginning of the play, remember the beginning of the play, Barkley makes a spin move. Now, we've seen him make the spin move how many times here. And one of the team doctors looks over and says, wow, what a spin move. And Kenny Sanders says, wait. And then we saw him leap backwards. When I saw Saquon in May, I said, you must wake up every day and think about those five guys in front of you and think of what can be. He goes, oh, yeah. Well, he ended up with 2,000 yards. He's just, it's been remarkable for him.
Yeah. But what the other thing is, too, is, you know, I don't know him personally. I've never met him. But when you hear about what a really good guy he is and how all his teammates love him, it is hard not to root for a guy like that.
Absolutely. T.J. Watt's the same way. And, you know, he has to fight through so much, whether it's just all the attention or the injuries. Where is he right now? Because when he's right, the Steelers seem to be right.
Yeah, I think the break is really good for him. Yeah. You know, he dealt for most of that three-game stretch on a gimpy ankle and no time to recover. You know, you play three games in 11 days against top opponents. There's no time to recover. Anybody who's ever sprained an ankle playing basketball or, you know, stepping off a curb the wrong way knows that you have to give it rest. You know, look, I don't care how, you know, the trainers are great and they're getting unbelievable attention. And yet the body still just, there's nothing like time. And now with that great training staff and the time, hopefully he's going to be good. And I also think I'll be very interested, Steve, to see how the team comes out tomorrow night, because it's basically been like, you know, they talk about that Thursday night football game, what a drag it is. But then you get, in essence, a mini bye.
Right.
The Steelers, Joey Porter Jr. is going to be back. They are pretty much 100% healthy going into this game. And I think that's a good spot to be in. You know, I'm sure this is going to have their attention, this game, because they want to, more than anything else, more than seeding or anything else, they need to get back to playing the kind of football they were playing when they went 10-3.
Yeah.
And T.J. Watt is a huge part of that. And so him getting that extra rest and the other guys coming back behind you, again, we talk about the ultimate team sport, Barkley, a great player, but helped out by everything around him in Philadelphia. Yeah. You know, Watt needs he needs a little help too. He needs Joey Porter on the back end, and he needs Deshaun Elliott back there and healthy. So I think the Steelers are, you know, they're health wise are as good as they can be right now, and better than most teams. Certainly better than the Bengals heading into this Week 18 matchup.
Finally, Rob, do the Steelers ever play on Sundays?
You know, it's funny, Steve. I was talking to the Chiefs crew. Their broadcasting crew before the game, and we're talking about the crazy schedule. And Bischoff, he looked at me and he said, "You know, the Chiefs have played every day of the week this year except Tuesday."
Yeah.
I was like, "Wow, that's crazy." Because they had that Black Friday game, and you know, when you're and you know, the thing is, and you know, I don't know if you've seen the Hard Knocks, but Mike Tomlin was talking about that. You know, look, when you're playing on Sunday. LeBron James has played on Sunday for 20 straight years. Why? Because he's LeBron James.
That's right.
Everybody's home and everybody wants to see him.
Yeah.
So if you're the team playing on Christmas Day or Monday night or Saturday, it's an honor because it means that, you know, everybody wants you to be a team that, you know, that everybody wants to watch you at home. You're the kind of team that's going to draw fans to the TV on a holiday or a Saturday or a Monday night. So, but how about that with the Chiefs? Every day but Tuesday. Isn't that crazy?
But you know what? That's what happens when you're a name and you're the show. And the Steelers, the Steelers appeal as a draw in stadiums, because you see it. There's more Steeler fans in every road game. And on TV means that the NFL wants to put them in spots because people want to see them. Same thing with Kansas City. That's why you end up sometimes playing on Sunday.
That's exactly right. And it's an honor. And it is, you know, Steelers Nation going around. And then the other fans, in their own way, signaling that the Steelers are number one as the team buses go by.
Yeah.
Not usually using the index finger when they're signaling their their love of the Steelers. But, you know, it's, you know, Steelers Nation shows up and, you know, people, opposing teams want to see him too. So, fun stuff.
There was a game in Iowa very quickly. And Penn State's pulling up. and Jack Hammond and I are sitting in the back of the bus, and there's this college-age girl, and she's telling Penn State they're number one without using the index finger. And I looked at Jack. I said, her parents must be so proud.
That's good stuff, man. Hey, listen, thank goodness they're there, because then we can all talk about sports all the time and let everybody else handle the real world.
Absolutely. You know? Hey, Rob, you're the best. You've had a phenomenal season. Love listening to the broadcast. And good luck to you and everybody along the way. Let's get it done.
Steve, it means a lot for you to say that. Thank you. And anytime I can come on, let's hope for a good deep run for the Steelers and a continuing run for your Penn State Nittany Lions.
You are rolling. You're speaking to the choir. Thanks so much, Rob.
See you, Steve. Thank you.
The outstanding Rob King, the voice of the Pittsburgh Steelers. What a job he's been doing all season long. And this half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.